always hold to that. There is no ill will between us.
Clara hid a grimace. Of course, she knew in her head she wasn't to blame. But her heart? That fickle organ had since reverted to her old way of thinking, pulsing out.
You are unloved. You are unwanted,
with every subsequent beat.
Miss?
Clara forced a smile of her own and patted the woman's hand.
You are the kind one, Effie. You've lost everything because of my family, and yet you smile. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. I suppose you know that as well as I,
Her fingers squeezed before she released her hold.
I wish you merry, Miss Chapman, this Christmas and always. Thank you, Effie, and a very merry Christmas be yours as well.
She spun, eyes burning, and pushed her way back down the narrow alley before Effie saw her tears.
This wasn't fair. None of it.
Her hired hansom waited where she'd left it. The cab was an expense she'd rather not think on, but altogether necessary, for she lived on the other side of town. She borrowed the driver's strong grip to ascend onto the step, then went inside, settled her skirts on the seat while he shut the door. Only once did she glance out the window as the vehicle jostled along London's rutted roads, and immediately repented for having done so. Two lovers walked hand in hand, the man bending close and whispering into the woman's ear. A blush then, followed by a smile. Clara yanked shut the window curtain, the loneliness in her heart rabid and biting. That could have been her. That should have been her.
Why, God? Why?
She leaned her head back against the carriage. Was love to be forever denied her? First her father's rejection, then her fiancé's. She swallowed back a sob, wearier than 25 years ought to feel. Eventually, the cab jerked to a halt, and she descended to the street. She dug into her reticule and pulled out one of her last coins to pay the driver. At this rate, she wouldn't have to hire a cab to visit Effie next Christmas. She might very well be her neighbor.
Merry Christmas, miss.
The driver tipped his hat.
To you as well, she answered,
then scurried toward Aunt's townhouse. A lacquered carriage, with a fine pair of matched horses at the front, stood near the curb.
Curious?
Perhaps the owner had taken a wrong turn, for Highgate, while shabbily respectable, was no Grosvenor Square. Clara dashed up the few stairs and entered her home of the last 9 months, taken in by the charitable heart of her aunt, Deborah Mitchell. The dear woman was increasingly infirm and housebound, but in her younger days, she'd hobnobbed with people from many spheres. Noontide chimes rang from the sitting room clock, accompanied by a bark of a cough. Clara untied her hat and slipped from her cloak, hanging both on a hall tree, all the while wondering how best to urge Aunt back to her bed. The woman was as stubborn as... She bit her lower lip. Truth be told, tenacity ran just as strongly in her own veins. Smoothing her skirts, she pulled her lips into a passable smile and crossed the sitting room's threshold.
I am home, Aunt, and I really must insist you retire. Oh, forgive me.
She stopped at the edge of the rug. A man stood near the mantel, dressed in deep blue livery. Her gaze flickered to her aunt.
I am sorry. I did not know you had company.
Come in, child.
Aunt waved her forward, the fabric of her sleeve dangling too loosely from the woman's arm.
This involves you.
The man advanced, offering a creamy envelope with gilt writing embellishing the front.
I am to deliver this to Miss Clara Chapman. That is you, is it not?
She frowned.
It is?
He handed her the missive with a bow, then straightened.
I shall await you at the door, miss.
Her jaw dropped as he bypassed her, smelling of lavender, of all things.